Truly, His name is wonderful. And with that introduction, I'd like for us to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We're very familiar with these passages of Scripture, and you see them a lot on Christmas cards this time of the year as they're sent out. But it's just a wonderful thing to be able to look at these two verses and think about how that even before our Lord was born, that He was described as the Holy Spirit moved Isaiah to write these words. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. Would you join your hearts with me once again in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the gift of salvation, redemption that is in his shed blood, the washing away of our sins, the bringing us into your family that we can know you as God, but also know you as our Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we've opened our Bibles and read from your words, may our hearts be open to receive your word, to embrace your word, to believe it, and to live it, and to gain strength and confidence in knowing just how wonderful our Lord and Savior is. And even though I say those words, just how wonderful He is, I know that in reality we won't know the ultimate truth of that until we see Him face to face. But thank you, Lord, for the glimpses that you give to us. And now may our hearts be tuned to you, and may we behold a portion of that wonder as we look at your word today. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. His name is Wonderful. There's just something about the name of Jesus, isn't there? There's something that when you hear that name, there's something about when you feel the stress and the dread and the weight of the world on your shoulders, just to be able to mention that name of Jesus and the sweet peace that overflows us. It's like a warm blanket that just comes down upon you and covers you in such a way that gives you the love and the peace that is ours through His work and through His grace upon us. When we look at these verses of Scripture, I'm really going to look at this morning the first two phrases of verse 6 and then the first part of the name that is given to us in this verse this morning. Lord willing, each Sunday from here through December, we'll look at a different name that's in these verses. But this morning, we're going to look at His name is Wonderful. But before we get to that part, my mind really took hold of these first two phrases in verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given. And I want us to think about that. The fact that a child is born and a son is given. A child being the offspring of the human form that was given. And again, when I think of wonderful, I think of it being filled with wonder. And the wonder of it all for me is the fact that God would be made man. That God would take on human flesh. That God would take on the form of being a baby being delivered by his mother, being held in the arms of his mother, and being held in the arms of Joseph and others as he would grow. There's just something about that. But this morning, I want us to think about that. This child that we celebrate his birth, this child that we're in the process of leading up to the day that we call Christmas, that we truly celebrate his birth, that this morning that we realize that this child was, he was precious in the sight of Mary. There's no doubt about that. Every mother, when you first look into the eyes of your child, especially your first, well, every child, but that firstborn, there's just a wonder about it, isn't there? When you look into their face and you, especially when you make eye contact with them, can you imagine Mary being so caught up with that scene, so caught up with that, that she gave birth to a child? We'll get into the wonder of that in just a moment. But right now, just to think about that she gave birth to a child. That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? Isn't it a miracle to see a child born, to see a human being that God has created with His hands and given to a family in such a way that they'll be able to care for it and to bring it up? Unto us, a child is born. So when you say that unto us, not only was that child born to Mary, and most people of that day, in fact, probably about everybody of that day thought it was Joseph's child as well. But not only was it their child, it's our child also. You see, unto us is born a child. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child. A child. But not just any child. And I know that every mother thinks that your child is the most precious child that's ever been born. But I got to tell you something. My mama thought I was too. But there's one greater. And I'm so thankful to be able to say that. Unto us, a child is born. And his name is Jesus. Jesus, that's his earthly name that was given to him. I've thought about this through the week, and I don't know if I'll be able to really get my thoughts all together today. I just am so filled with this thought of how wonderful Jesus is. But Jesus was his earthly name. We pray to him, through him, to the Father. And we still say, in Jesus' name. But Jesus was the earthly name that was given to him. That name was not given to him until he was born. I don't know what the Father calls him. I don't know if there's a heavenly name for him. One day we'll find out. But I don't know that. But I know now, and I'm thankful that God revealed himself to us so that we have a name that we can call on. It's not just a God. It's not just any God. It's not just a nameless God. But God has given to us a name, and his name is Jesus, that we call upon, and we know that in Jesus' name, the Father hears our prayers. But unto us, a child is born. A child is born. I thought about it in Hebrews. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture this morning. If you want to, while I'm talking about this one, you can be turned to Luke chapter 2. But before that, I get to Luke chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says unto us that a body had been prepared for Jesus. I'll just read that verse while you're turning to Luke 2. It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Now what he's been talking about is the sacrifices of the bullocks and of the rams and of the lambs and the things that were offered under the law. And he says that those sacrifices just didn't get it. They weren't intended to be the force of redemption for us. He says sacrifices offering there was not. But a body hast thou prepared for me. A body hast thou prepared for me. I understand that the body of Jesus, He experienced everything that you and I experience. He experienced being tired. Remember when they were on the ship going over to the demoniac that was on the Gadarene? What was Jesus doing when the storm came? He was asleep. And I understand it would be broad daylight, so somebody's sleeping in the daytime, they're usually pretty tired, right? So he got tired. His body got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty. All of the things that you and I experienced, Jesus experienced that. But it was a body that was prepared for him. I could go off on a tangent here and wonder if each one of us has a body that God has prepared for us. And I have to believe yes. That the body that we inhabit is a body that the Lord prepared for us, right? So He prepared that for us. But He prepared this body for Jesus. He prepared this body for Jesus. Now what was so wonder-filled about that? It wasn't necessarily the body, and I want to be careful how I word this, but it was the person in the body. A body that I has prepared for me. And that's the words of Jesus being spoken. So, who was it that inhabited that body? And I don't want to get away from that yet, but that body that was prepared. John, first chapter starts out, and again, I promise you I'm getting to Luke chapter 2. But in John chapter 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, who's that talking about? You go down to verse 14 of John chapter 1, and it says, "And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." So the inhabitant of that body that was prepared was Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. The living Word. Not the written Word, but the living Word. Inhabited that body. I don't want to get weighted down with this, but I want you to understand something about this child that was born. There's never been another birth like this one. And there never will be. And again, I know that every mother thinks that about their child as he or she's being born. But I'm telling you, there's never been another birth like this one, nor will there ever be another birth like this one because of the one who inhabited the body, this one, the one who was this child. It was the living Word of God. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So that Word with a capital W is Jesus. We know Him as Jesus. The Father called Him the Word. He's the Word, but He inhabited this body that was prepared for Him. Okay, now I go to Luke chapter 2. And I want us to see in this Luke chapter 2 the fact that He inhabited a body. He took on Himself a human body. He was in the human flesh, human form. And it had to be that way. It had to be that way. Because since by man came death, by man also came resurrection from the dead. It had to be, it couldn't have been an animal. It had to be someone with the human flesh. This child that was born. It had to be that way for redemption to take place. So Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it tells us that Joseph and Mary lived in a time when Herod called for the taxing of all the area there, all the land. Meaning a census was going to be taken. So every person had to go back to the town of their birth, of their family town. Like if that happened today, that everyone had to return back to their hometown, I'd have to go back to Merville, Tennessee. People that don't know otherwise, it's Maryville. But if you're from there, it's Merville. Judy would go to Lenore City. We would go back to our hometowns. But in reality, she would go back to Maryville with me because now that she is a tailor. So Joseph and Mary, they went back to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the lineage of David and Bethlehem is David's hometown. So they had to go back to Bethlehem. But it wasn't just because that census was called for to be taken. It was because God had said that's the way it's going to be. I believe it's in, is it Micah chapter 5, I believe it is, where he talks about the town of Bethlehem. Though it's the smallest in Judah, one would come out of that town that would be the prince, that would be the we know him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Joseph and Mary went back to Bethlehem to be counted in the census and to be taxed, I'm sure. But the thought that I want to get is at the end of verse 5, it says, being great with child, for unto us the child is born. Being great with child. Go down to verse 21. Jesus is now born, and he's 8 days old. And under the law, a child when he was 8 days old was required to be, a male child was required to be circumcised. So in verse 21 it says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, and now we're introduced a little bit more to him, his name was called Jesus. This child that was born to us, his name is called Jesus. He was brought by Mary and Joseph back to Jerusalem at that point, to the temple, to be circumcised by the priest, because everything that he did was under the law. Verse 40. And the child grew. The child grew. And you might say, well, why are you emphasizing the fact that he's a child? I want us to understand something. He was born in flesh. If you were to pinch him, he would have hurt. He felt it. When those nails were driven through his hands and his feet, he felt it. When the scourge was put to his back, he felt it. Because he was of human flesh. He was human flesh. God became man. That's too wonderful. In Psalm 139, I believe it is, the psalmist talks about these thoughts are too high, too lofty for me to really understand. So, though I'm talking by the authority of the Scripture, I'm having to say to you this morning, it boggles my mind to think that God became man. But the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, I'm going to give a little preview of what I talked about this past Wednesday night that we're going to talk about this coming Wednesday night. The word upon. The grace of God was upon him. Again, I'm at that point. I wish I was at this point when I was back in school. But I'm at a point now, I want to know what words mean. So what does it mean that the grace of God was upon him? This is God in flesh. And then it says the grace of God was upon him. That word upon means to be superimposed. And the example that was given in when I looked up that word was at the end of a movie when they're still showing a scene in the background and you see the credits rolling that are superimposed. So what you're looking at, most of us, well, I remember one time we sat to the very last one because we wanted to see where a movie was filmed. You're reading the credits that are superimposed. So this child that was born, superimposed upon him, was the grace of God that when people looked at him, they could see there was something different. And I think that may be why that they were so hard against him, because he was so different from them. Because they were sinners and he wasn't. The grace of God was superimposed. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have on our tombstone that the grace of God was superimposed upon that individual? And it was with Jesus. When you looked at him, when we see him today by faith, what do we see? We see grace. We see mercy. We see love. The grace of God was upon him. It was super. It exuded from him. That's my big word for the day. It came out of him. And when people were in his presence, they either were caught up with it or they were intimidated by it. And isn't that the same today? We're either caught up by the grace of God or we're intimidated by it. The grace of God was upon this child as he grew. Down to verse 52. If you think that one boggled my mind, verse 52 truly boggles my mind. And Jesus the child increased. He increased. He increased in wisdom. This is God. But we're talking about the child now, okay? And again, I still stutter. 34 years ago, I stuttered when I talked about 100% God and 100% man, and I still do today. I still don't understand it. But now we're talking about the child. The child, Jesus. The child, Jesus, the human form, grew in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. I can understand that. The child grew up from a little baby to a grown man. This next one. He increased in favor with God. And this is where you have to stop to realize this is talking about Jesus the man. Jesus the man increased with favor with God, in favor with God. The grace of God was upon him. I often wonder, what was Jesus like as a 3-year-old? Was he like most 3-year-olds? Was it terrifying twos and even worse threes? There's no 3-year-olds, are there? What was he like? I have to believe that he was a little boy. I have to believe that as he grew, he was brought up by Mary and Joseph. The child Jesus, he grew. He grew in wisdom. Son, that'll hurt if you hit your thumb with that hammer. He grew in that knowledge. And if he didn't listen to it when he hit his thumb with that hammer, he learned. It hurts when you hit your thumb with the hammer. He learned those things. He experienced those things. Just like you and I. He experienced them. He grew in favor with God, and that favor was superimposed on him, that grace that came upon him. And he grew in favor with man. So he grew in learning. He grew in stature. He grew spiritually. And he grew socially. And that shouldn't that be the aim of that we would have for all of our children? That they would lead a 4-square life. That they would grow physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. Be able to get along with other people. Jesus did it. Because there was a child that was given to us. I know I've belabored that. But I needed it this week as I studied that. I needed to be reminded that when I'm down in the valley, Jesus knows what it's like. When I'm down and out, Jesus knows what it's like. This is an old saying, when I'm down in the mouth, Jesus knows what it's like. When the world, you think the world's turned against you, Jesus knows what it's like. Because a child was born. And he was raised to be a man. He was raised to be a godly man. Throughout the scripture you read where that the experience was, He went into the synagogue. He went into the temple. He was brought up in church. He was raised in church by his family as a child. Unto us a child is born. It was the body of Jesus that died on the cross. Listen, God did not die on the cross. If God had died, this world would have exploded. Because God holds it all together. But Jesus, the man, died on the cross. That child that was born and grew to be a man, he died on the cross. And when he died, his spirit immediately went back to be with the Father, just like ours will when we die. And as the spirit went back to be with the Father, he presented the offering of his blood to the Father, and the Father accepted it. But that body died. And that body was placed in the tomb. And that body had a stone rolled in front of that tomb. And that body came forth 3 days and three nights later. And the Spirit was reunited with that body. And it came forth alive. And because Jesus lives, you and I have the absolute truth and the absolute authority of knowing that when that day comes and the trumpet sounds and the angel gives that shout, that our bodies are going to come out of the grave. And they're going to come out of the grave perfect. And the Spirit is going to be reunited just exactly like Jesus' was. You see, He experienced everything, including death. So that we would know that in Christ, we have the same blessings. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is the beautiful part. Unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This is why I said there never has been another birth like this one, and there never will be another one like it. I don't mean to be light about this. But I know there have been those that have claimed that they never had anything to cause them to get to be with child. But we know that didn't happen. But there was one. And her name was Mary. And she was a virgin. When the angel appeared to her, she said, how can this be? I don't know a man. And that means in an intimate way. I know not a man. How shall this be? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And that which you shall conceive shall be of the Holy Ghost. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I've never seen this until Brother Bill Durant showed it to me. A virgin shall conceive, and a virgin shall bear. She was still a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. She still had not known a man in a physical way. A virgin conceived and a virgin. Why is that important? So that man could in no way take credit for what Jesus did. What happens to that son? For God so loved the world. I'm saying, I'm not ready to give that verse up, are you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It wasn't Joseph's son. It's the Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved that He gave. Would you give your child for someone else? I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't. I'd give myself before I gave my child. God loved us so much that He sent His Son. He gave His Son. He gave His Son. Unto us a Son is given. There's a song I posted on Facebook. I love this song. How deep the Father's love, that He should give His only Son. How vast, beyond all measure, to make a wretch His treasure. God gave His Son for a wretch like Steve Taylor. That's the wonder of it all. That He would love me so much that He would give His Son to die for me. His name is Wonderful. Wonderful. she shall bring forth a son. Notice it's something. This week I saw that, and I'd never noticed it, really never paid attention to it before. She shall bring forth a son. Mothers, when your sons were born, did you say, I gave birth to a son, or I gave birth to my son? And she shall bring forth a son. Why was that word, why was that term used, a son, instead of her son? Because he's the Son of God, and she knew it. It was a son. Not just her son. She had other sons later. But this was the Son of God. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I love that verse of Scripture. I love the shalls of the Bible. When God says that he shall do something, it's as good as done. And when it says that he shall save his people from their sins, guess what he did? He saved his people from their sins by the shedding of his blood on the cross on Calvary's hill. His name is wonderful. His birth was wonderful. And we'll look at that more as the weeks go on. His life was wonderful. Very quickly, I just want to talk about this. His life was wonderful. Ask the leper, what do you think about Jesus? He's wonderful. Well, why is he so wonderful to you? Because when nobody else would have anything to do with me, Jesus touched me. When nobody else would lay a hand on me, Jesus touched me. He's wonderful. You ask the man that was born blind, what do you think about Jesus? He's wonderful. Nobody else could open my eyes, but Jesus anointed my eyes, and Jesus opened my eyes. And then you ask Lazarus, what do you think about Jesus? He's wonderful. What makes him so wonderful? I was dead and now I'm alive. He's wonderful. Can you identify with that this morning? Can you identify with the fact that Jesus is wonderful to you? Because you were dead and now you're alive by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's wonderful. His death and His resurrection is wonderful. Can we identify with that? I know we can. I'll answer it. We can. I stand before you as one that says, in my life, He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything but gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. May we pray. Father, how do we say thank you? Unworthy as we are. And yet unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name is wonderful. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for loving us. Help us, Lord, to embrace this, to take it into the very depths, the very core of our being. As Paul would say, into our bowels, that our very lives would be affected by this great truth, that you gave your only begotten Son to die for us. May we live for Him. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. This morning, as we stand and sing, the Lord has shown you that it was for you that He paid that price. You haven't made a public profession of your desire to identify with His body, the church, here at Grace Primitive Baptist Church. We give you the opportunity now, as we stand and sing, to come, let your desires be made known for the same.
Let's please all stand together as we turn to hymn number 91. Blessed be the name, 91. Let's do it all through verse.